first reading this morning is from the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 14 to chapter 4, sorry, and then a break, chapter 4, verses 5 to 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Just going to check. Oh, you've got the message. Okay. Is it really from verse 5? No. 1. Okay, good. Preach the word. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when the people will not endure sound teaching, but will have itching ears they will accumulate for themselves teachers who suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. But as for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Whakarongo ki te kupu a te wairua ki te hahi. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God. Kia mo tonu tana kupu kia tato. Right, hopefully the gospel goes more smoothly. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. Praise and glory to God. Te pakamomiti, te karoria, ki te atua. The parable of the persistent widow. And Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterwards he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down with her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Te ronga pai tēnei a te karāti. This is the gospel of Christ. Whakamoe mititi ia. Te kupumana. What have I done wrong there? Praise to Christ the Word.
Thank you, Penny. Whanau, I'd like you to welcome Jeff Woollett. Jeff is the Wellington Area Coordinator for Barnabas Aid. And he's here with his wife, Julie, today. He's delighted to speak on behalf of the Christian family that's following Jesus in tough places. Jeff will share about their work, the online 24 prayer meeting on the 2nd of November, the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church, and the monthly meeting he hosts here in Waikanae. He's got a whole bunch of material about Barnabas on a table in the hall, so please welcome Jeff.
Thank you very much. It is such a privilege to be with you guys this morning. Just give me a second to organise my paraphernalia. Okay. Yeah, as our brother mentioned, I work for Barnabas Aid. I know many folk here are familiar with the work that we do, and quite a few folk here get our material that comes every couple of months. We have a magazine, a prayer diary. And it's one of the coolest parts of my role is to come to a group of people that receive our stuff and pray for our work, just to say thank you. I guess the main reason I fulfill this role, and I'm very happy to work for Barnabas, is the hope that people receive on the other side of the world, when they know people far, far away care enough to pray and help them, the hope that brings is as life-giving as the physical resources we can give to people to help them to be the church that they're called to be. So it is great to come and just say thank you. If you remember nothing else that I say this morning, thank you very much. And for anyone who's not familiar with who we are and what we do, Barnabas Aid is a Christian aid agency. And our specific call, as Steve said, is to support and encourage and help the persecuted and suffering church around the world. And just to put a bit of scale to that description, it's conservatively estimated as many as 380 million of our brothers and sisters wake up every day with the threat of persecution and discrimination over their life because they're Christian. Not their politics, not their ethnicity, not their social status, but because of who they believe in. Well, if I can put that another way, that's 1 in 7 of every professing Christian on the planet has the shadow of persecution hanging over their life. And that can range from meeting in a place like this and the doors burst open and a mob comes in and attacks everybody, all the way down to being unable to bury a family member in the local cemetery because they're a Christian. Hence the need for an organisation such as ours. We're very upfront that we're a Christian aid agency, and our call basically is to be a channel for resources and prayers from Christians to go through Christians to Christians in areas where there is suffering and persecution. Groups like us, our good friends at Voice of the Martyrs and Open Doors, I guess if I can put it bluntly, you could have 30 ministries like ours and we would still not be able to meet every need due to the scope and scale of the persecution that our brothers and sisters endure. And very briefly, the way we work, we just interact with Christian communities around the world and we basically just say, what do you guys need to be the church? Is it something as basic as food? Is it Bibles? Is it a school for your kids? Is it a livelihood program so you can be self-sufficient? You know, whatever the needs are in different parts of our planet, we just want to be a channel to serve our brothers and sisters. That's why I like that we call ourselves Barnabas Aid. That's the guy in the book of Acts that we hear about. The name means son of encouragement. But the thing I like about Barnabas, if you read the book of Acts, when they sent the first missionaries out from Antioch, they were described as Barnabas and Paul. By the time they came back after their first trip, they were described as Paul and Barnabas. Paul was the leader that God had raised up to lead the missions movement. And Barnabas was secure enough in his faith, he was humble enough, he was strong enough to step back and I guess take the servant role and lead from the back. So it took a lot of, you know, spiritual, I guess, quality and just knowing who you were in the Lord to take that role. And if you look at any church, there's folk who do the sound, there's folk who get the elements ready, that are people that you don't see, but without whom things don't function correctly, right? And we see that as our role to our brothers and sisters in the persecuted church. We just want to come underneath and serve our brothers and sisters so they can have the resources they need to be the church that they're called to be. I guess that's our ministry in a nutshell. And we work in about 60 or 70 countries. I do want to specifically mention one country where we work, and that is Pakistan. Because I'm absolutely thrilled and blessed that your Women's Fellowship is hosting this Pakistan night in a couple of weeks, Wednesday the 29th. And, you know, India, I think, has a caste system. We understand there's the Brahmins, there's the priestly caste, and there's the untouchables at the bottom. To put it bluntly, Pakistan also has a caste system. And the people at the bottom are the Christians. Christians are severely discriminated against, often legally, socially. Often they don't get the same education opportunities. They don't know the rights that they have. And they're very much left with the worst jobs in society to do. And probably the worst of all is working making bricks. There's thousands of brick factories in Pakistan because everything's made of brick. So people work 10 or 12 hours cutting up the clay, making a mould of a brick and just stacking these bricks which are fired, which are then, you know, used in construction throughout Pakistan. It is brutal, hard, horrible work, very poorly paid. And often these Christian folk working in these factories, they will get sick, need to go to the doctor, cost money. They don't have enough money because they're not paid enough. So they have to borrow from the brick kiln owner to go to the doctor. They will charge interest on that loan. They'll never be able to pay it off. And when someone else gets sick, the loan gets even bigger. And their quota of bricks that they have to make goes up because of the debt. They have to take the kids out of school. So they are making bricks 10 or 12 hours a day. It is basically indentured slavery. And what we do, and what this Pakistan evening will help us to do, is we pay the debts that these families have incurred. It might be $50, but once you pay that debt off, you can have more money to eat better, you can put your kids back in school so they can get an education, and it can radically change people's lives. We have been able to free about 200 or 300 families, I think, this year from debts in these brick kiln factories. And there's hundreds and hundreds more. And sometimes these debts get carried from generation to generation. And it might just be a couple of $100. And it makes a huge difference. And again, when these folks say that this debt has been paid because of the generosity of folk in a country like New Zealand, and as I like to tell people, we are in the Bible because we're the ends of the earth, right? After us, you just got Antarctica and penguins. And when people in Pakistan hear that somebody as far away as New Zealand cares enough to pay off their debt, not only is their quality of life improved, but the hope that that imparts is so life-giving. So I encourage you, get along on the 29th to this Pakistan evening. You'll get to taste some Pakistan food and hear more about how you can make a big difference in people's lives. But as I say, there are 60 or 70 countries where we work, and our help ranges from, you know, paying off debts to providing Bibles, even basic food. In a country like Nigeria, where there is so much violence, many Christians are refugees in their own country, we just help people in refugee camps. And as I say, it's just, we want to serve our brothers and sisters so they can be the church that they're called to be. That's the heart of what Barnabas Aid is and does. And we've been going for about 30-odd years. And, of course, in a country like New Zealand, one of our biggest roles is just advocacy, just to let folk know the scope and reality of persecution around the world. And just to provide information and resources so folk can pray accurately for things that are currently going on around the world. And as I mentioned, prayer, the reason, again, the main reason I work in this role is I am passionate about the difference that prayer makes in somebody's life. I mean, I'm a Christian because someone prayed for me. I didn't grow up in church. I came to faith when I was 20 years old. It was somewhat dramatic, I suppose you could say. Suffice to say, I used to be a punk. And that was a long time ago, when I was 20. It was way back last century. But because a workmate who was a Christian started at my workplace, and he prayed for me, and God started to move in my life, and the rest, as they say, is history. And the cool thing is, we can pray for somebody in the same room, and in the same way, we can pray for someone on the other side of the world, and God will touch their life. And one thing, because I am in Waikanae, one thing I do want to share, is, as Steve said, is that on the last Monday of every month, there's a prayer meeting at a home in Rewarira Crescent, which is somewhere over there. And it's just a prayer time that I lead, and it's just an opportunity to pray for our brothers and sisters. So if you want to join a prayer meeting on a Monday afternoon, I'll maybe leave this information. And it's just really cool to, how can I put this, to lift their prayer beyond their four walls, so to speak. It's not to negate the needs around us, because they are real and relevant, but I think when we can cast their prayers further abroad, it just deepens that sense that we are part of something amazing. And as I say, there's no geographical limit for when we pray for people. And part of that also was why I always like to publicise, this is the last piece of equipment I've got up here, a magazine and prayer diary, which I know many of you folk receive. It comes every 2 months, it's free, and on our table there's a sign-up sheet if you're interested. It's a great source of information so we can pray wisely about what's happening and just to get a better understanding of what it's like to live for the Lord in tough parts of the world. But the part I always like to plug is the prayer diary that comes in the middle. It covers every day of that two-month period. And for me, when I have my devotions in the morning, I just pray the prayer of the day. It might be a 20-second prayer. And two things. Number one, God will answer that prayer. And number two, it just makes it part of my Christian DNA, if I can put it that way, that we are part of a global church. And it just deepens my love for the Lord and just the sense that we are part of something bigger than ourselves. And I have to also mention, if you look at the back cover of our latest magazine, the first two Sundays of November are the International Days of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. And what Barnabas Aid International is doing, we are running a 24-hour online prayer meeting. It'll start at noon on November, get the date right, whatever the Sunday is, November 2. And we're starting it in New Zealand because we're the first country to see the sunrise, right? It's either us or Samoa, I can never remember which. But at noon, our New Zealand office is going to open this online prayer meeting, which is open to anybody, anywhere, all over the place. And we're going to pray to about 3 o'clock, then we'll pass the baton to our Australian office. And this prayer meeting will track around the world and finish, I think, in the US on noon on Monday, November 3. And we're inviting anyone who wants to go to our webpage and just register to this prayer meeting, and we'll send you the link. If you want to join for 20 minutes on Sunday afternoon, or if you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you can link on because the prayer meeting will still be going. And just come and participate. Pray a prayer for the countries we're praying for. And just agree together with the other folk who will be online from all over the world, lifting up our persecuted brothers and sisters. I think it's such a cool way to connect with our global church. And in fact, if you take the magazine and get your phone camera out and take a picture of the little box thingy, it'll take you straight to the registration page. So, such is the wonders of technology that we have nowadays. But my heart is just to say that My heart, if I can put it this bluntly, my prayer, my heart, is that every Christian in New Zealand would pray for the persecuted church. That we would remember and just be aware that we have family all over the world, different culture, different language. But what joins us together is our love for Jesus. And just to meet like this in so many places, it often has a high price. And what blows me away is the number one request from everywhere in the world where there's persecution. People say, pray for us. And if I was in their shoes, I'd say, pray that I have enough food, pray that I have a Bible. But no, the number one prayer request is please pray that whatever we go through, whatever injustice we suffer, that we will not give up. That whatever we go through, our faith will stand. That is always the number one prayer request. And friends, I can promise you, when we pray a prayer like that for our brother and sister, be it in Pakistan, Syria, North Korea, China, that is a prayer that the Lord will answer. Prayer is God's ordained means for releasing his resources. And prayer imparts power. Prayer imparts hope. And prayer connects us to our God. And I have to tell you, folks, it amazes me. I mean, I mentioned I came to faith when I was 20, totally unchurched. I know what I'm like. I know where I'm from. And I think, who am I that I could go into the very presence of God and sit at his feet and hear his voice? But because of what Jesus has done on the cross, because of the door he opened, right, when he died on the cross, the veil in the temple separating the Holy of Holies ripped in half to symbolically declare that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord has this amazing access into the very presence of God. And what an amazing thing that we can sit at his feet and hear his voice. And when we have our devotions at the kitchen table, wherever it is in the morning, what a privilege. And the amazing thing is, he burdens us to pray, and then he answers that prayer. And in so doing that, we participate with the Lord in his work around the world. That is the reason he planted his church, that we could do that. Prayer is such a wonderful privilege. And it is so amazing that we can pray for someone on the other side of the world, and God can touch their life. So I encourage you, avail of the resources that we can get our hands on to pray for our brothers and sisters. And just as I was preparing for this morning, I have to say I was very struck by the New Testament reading from 2 Timothy. And it just reminded me of a couple of things that have made a big impact on my life, to be honest with you. It talks about the Holy Scriptures, right? Talks about how all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And it just reminds us that this Bible that we possess, well, firstly, it's the all-time bestseller down through history. No other book has been read, bought, purchased, distributed than the Bible. And how many millions of people down through history have had their lives changed because of this book? Or more specifically, because of the God they met through this book. And it reminded me of a video I saw a few years ago. It was from China. And this was a video of some young people who had undergone some Christian training. And at the end of the training, they were presented with a brand new Bible. They had these boxes, and the Bibles were still wrapped in cellophane. And for many of these young people, they'd never had a whole Bible before. They maybe had excerpts of scripture. Some Christians actually write it on hand and distribute the pieces of paper. And these young folk had never had their hands on a whole Bible. And they were in tears. They were taking these Bibles wrapped still in the cellophane, hugging them to their face, and tears were pouring down their cheeks because they were so thankful that they had their own Bible. And I remember looking at this video and glancing over my shoulder at my bookcase with my 27 versions and numerous commentaries and just thinking how I took all that for granted. And yet for these folk to have their hands on the living Word of God, where God would speak to them, it brought tears to their eyes. And similarly, here in New Zealand, even right here in Waikanae, there was an incredible move of God amongst the Maori people in the 19th century. And the catalyst for that movement was when folk could receive the Word of God in Te Reo, when they had the words of God in their own language that they could hold. It lit a fire that resulted in hundreds and hundreds of people worshipping in this very place in the 1830s. The power of God's Word, as it says in this scripture. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. I mentioned what a gift prayer is, what a gift His love letter to us is. And if I can come make the same point from a different direction, take a country like North Korea. North Korea is pretty much the most hardest place in the world to be a Christian. You're all very familiar. It's a communist country. You've got the Kim dynasty. Three generations have run the country, and they control every aspect of your life. And any belief, any worldview that's counter to their way of thinking is crushed. And if the authorities in North Korea find the Bible in your house, they won't just arrest you, they will arrest a whole household and ship you off to a labor camp. That can range from a full-on prison with guards and barbed wire to being dumped in some village in the middle of nowhere and being left to fend for yourself. Because they know the power of God's Word to impact people's lives. And that's why it is feared by people who are enemies of the gospel. The first guy, when North Korea, after the Korean War, their first, Kim Song-il, he's the granddad of the current president of Korea. He grew up in a Christian home. As a matter of fact, when he was a young person in the 20s, there was a massive revival in North Korea. Pyongyang, the capital of North Korea, used to be called the Jerusalem of the East because there were so many churches. There was an incredible move of God that saw thousands of Koreans come to a faith in Christ. But Kim Song-il obviously did not embrace that revival. He hardened his heart against it, and he embraced communism. But he saw the power of God's Word changing lives all around him. And instead of embracing that power, he rejected it, but he recognized how powerful the Bible is as a tool for people coming to know God. Sometimes the enemies of the work have a greater appreciation of the value of something than those who follow it, right? I've heard of prisoners in different countries imprisoned for their faith who have denied the scripture. All they've got is the verses they've memorized. And they recite those verses over and over, and it gives them the faith and the strength to keep pressing on and not giving up. And I often pray for myself, and I pray this, I guess, for everyone, that in a country like New Zealand, that our brothers and sisters' example of devotion to God's Word would encourage us to appreciate the value of what we hold in our hands. And to spend time hearing God speak to us through this book. And I was so reminded of that when I saw the scripture readings for today. The Word of God is such a gift, just as the ability to pray is such a wonderful gift. And that is why I always say to folk, we partner with the persecuted church. We can certainly bless folk with our resources and our prayers, but my friends, what we can learn from their testimony, from the courage and faith of people following Jesus in such tough places, the ability to forgive. I mean, my goodness, I have seen and heard testimonies of people who've been through the most atrocious, unjust, terrible situations, and yet they're able to love their enemies. I mean, there is a power there that only God can put in your heart. So we can learn so much from each other. And I have to say that I am blessed and humbled and amazed to be part of the body of Christ on this planet. And I just stress the injustice of what people endure just because of who they believe in. I mean, it should not happen. And I'll be honest, sometimes it makes me cry or it makes me so angry I want to punch somebody. Not that I would. But the injustice, you know, we've all suffered, right? We all know what it's like to hurt, to suffer loss, to suffer pain. Often it's through a set of circumstances that there is no control over, like a bereavement or something like that. But to suffer like that because of the willful actions of another person, there's a layer there that to be able to forgive and love your enemies in places like that, that is probably why the church is growing in many parts of the world where there's persecution, where hatred is not returned by hatred, but people love those who hate them. It shines a light in the darkness. But I cannot stress the injustice that some 380 million of our brothers and sisters endure. And the thing is, you know, no one goes looking for trouble. No one wakes up in the morning and thinks, oh, we'll go and suffer. But these folk find themselves in a place where because of who they believe in, you have to make a choice. Will I trust the Lord or not? And in so many millions of cases, the answer is a resounding yes. Over and over again, the testimony of people in areas of persecution is they say, Jesus is worth it. If he suffered for me, if he was willing to die for me, there is no cost that is too great for me to pay for him. And I think you see that magnified and testified in the persecuted church around the world. And what it challenges me in my heart, as I live in New Zealand, is would I say with the same conviction and the same thankful heart, Lord, you died for me, I will live for you. And I think that is the testimony we can learn from our brothers and sisters in tough places. So let me say, never think that you are too far away or too insignificant to make a difference. Can I encourage you to look with eyes of faith and see what a difference we can make as we agree together in prayer? And I pray that as we pray for our brothers and sisters around the world, we in our own hearts would receive fresh revelation of this amazing God that we follow and how he can lead us through the deepest rivers and the most fiercest of fires if we keep our faith in him. And that we are part of an amazing global church that is changing lives all over the world. And finally, if I can just again mention in chronological order the three events I mentioned. At prayer meeting on the last Monday of every month in Waikanae, Wednesday, October 29, please come along to the fellowship in St. Luke's Hall. I'm sure you all know where that is for this Pakistan evening. And please go to our website or even grab one of our magazines and scan your phone on the back page and participate in this online prayer meeting on November 2, where we can join with brothers and sisters around the world and intercede for our brothers and sisters in the persecuted church and just get a deeper sense that we are truly part of something amazing. Amen. Thank you very much.